Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome. Hi. What?
Huh?
Oh. Welcome back to a whole new week.
This is rehearsal, right?
I've been here for an hour and a half already. We came for part of the party for the polka guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh. 35 years they've been on the air.
35 years.
Wow.
Ray said he was one when he started.
Uh-huh.
I believe it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
At any rate, this is Soundbites.
We don't have to go through the whole thing today.
People have heard enough of that nonsense.
Oh, God,
yeah, we've been here for like ever already today, and the drugs haven't kicked in yet. So let's start.
Speak for yourself.
How about announcing us?
What?
Oh yeah, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Fenright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
You are totally out of sync, aren't you?
I am. I'm completely out of sync today. It's been one of those...
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, interesting.
Dave, I'll get the popcorn. I'll be right back.
I've already been answering computer questions all morning, and I had a couple of cups of real coffee, so I'm... caffeinated coffee. I had real coffee this morning.
Yeah, I was going to say...
All right. Well, that's it. Windows 10 isn't free anymore. As of today, if you want Windows 10, you're going to have to pay for it. The home version will cost you $120, while the Windows 10 Pro will set you back $200.
Ugh, where's that boo sound effect when we need
it? Yeah, right. Of course, not everybody upgraded. There it is.
Thank you.
Just give me a minute. Lots of you prefer Windows 7, mainly because somebody told you Windows 10 was too different. Some of you have hardware so old you can't upgrade, and some of you waited until the last minute, had problems, and ended up missing the deadline. Those of you who did upgrade now have an experience that's very much like Windows 7, with just a hint of Windows 8.1 in the mix. Many of the old programs work fine under 10, but some have to be upgraded, and some very old programs will never work. If you have 4 gig or more of RAM, the user experience is fairly zippy for Windows. Windows 10 has all the features and all the...
I see what you did there.
Yeah. But don't forget, I'm a Linux user. I think even the Mac is slow.
Well, it can be.
Yeah. And all the problems of every other... Windows 10, all the features and all the problems of every other version of Windows. You still need anti-malware. You still need to back up your data every day, which you haven't in a while. So why don't you do it while you're listening to the show?
Sure.
And you still need to be careful of scammers. One problem those of you who didn't upgrade will face is lack of support. Microsoft certainly won't support very old versions of the OS. Windows 7 mainstream support ended last January. Extended support, that is to say critical security updates, will continue until 14 January 2020, but Windows 7 users have already missed some nice system enhancements that Windows 8.1 and Windows 10 users now have. It's all performance and reliability stuff. They're all under the hood, so you don't know you missed them anyway, until your machine crashes. Microsoft has said that the next version of Windows will be subscription-based model only. That is to say you'll have to pay every year to use it. If you stop paying, it stops working. But that's it. The free ride is over. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows 10 isn't free anymore. And your choices are, I got mine, Jack. I tried but couldn't. I waited so I could give Microsoft my money and win what now? So far, of course, I got mine, Jack. Yeah, it has 50% of the votes, followed by win what now? I tried but couldn't, and one person actually waited so he and or she could give Microsoft their money. And, of course, I know you'll have more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right-hand side of the page under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum on the list is the poll discussion, and at this point at least, the first thing in the poll discussion is 30 July 16, Windows 10 isn't free anymore. So far, 3 people have spoken in the post, and we'd love to have you join us. And also, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. And not much to say about that. Windows 10 isn't free anymore, and there you have it. Yep. But I have something even more important to say about something that still is free.
I like things that are free. It's my favorite price.
Exactly right. So,
so what do you got for us?
Yeah, right. What I got for you is, I think, pretty cool. As you may or may not know, I also started a website called The Security Tango, which we got from this show. People calling in over and over again asking how do they make their computer secure.
Right.
And frankly, I got tired of we're always answering the same question, the same set of ways. So I started The Security Tango, which will let you... which tells you how to secure your Mac or your Windows machine or your Linux machine or whatever by following a series of steps to do things. One of the things in there is Super Anti-Spyware, which I like a lot. And I also wrote about it a couple of weeks ago, well, almost every week, in my newspaper column. The folks at Super Anti-Spyware wrote back and said, thank you for saying nice things about our product. Would you like some to give away?
Well, sweet. Wasn't that nice of them? They didn't have to do that.
I thought for almost... Yes.
Yeah, they do. We promote it.
Yes, yes. Well, no, but yes, I wanted
polite,
to give it away.
Guys, come on.
No, I wanted to give it away. I said, yes, I want to give some away. So they sent me some professional licenses. Now, the way this works is you install the free version... Then you go into the free version and say, here's my serial number.
Yeah, and the phones are lighting up.
No, this is not a call-in to get a copy. This is not answer the trivia. I want to take a shot at the trivia.
Yes, that's my line.
Hey. Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to take a shot at the trivia.
There you go.
Is the answer sysadmin day?
Yes, we just had that, and congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
You're still a sysadmin.
I'm
a sysadmin emeritus.
Yes, that's right.
It's hard to say, sysadmin emeritus.
Yes, you can't say it while you you might be intoxicated. It's like trying to say judicial assistant.
I might be intoxicated at any point. But here's the deal. What we're going to do is we're going to give away a free pro upgrade to Super Anti-Spyware. And the way you get it is this. On the Soundbites webpage, at the top of the Soundbites webpage, is a post that I have cleverly hidden the name of the giveaway in.
Okay.
The title of the post is Super Anti-Spyware Giveaway.
Hmm.
All
do
you
think that's going to work?
I don't know. We'll see if anybody figures it out.
Okay.
All you have to do is this. Leave a comment. And then next Saturday, which lets all the people who are listening to this on a podcast, they still have the opportunity to get in on the deal.
Right.
All of you people can. All you have to do is leave a comment.
The comment should not be, I don't want Super Anti-Spyware.
Well, and that's, and I have hot, I want to talk about a hot dog about that in a minute. But here's the deal. Hey, leave a comment. Pretty much say anything, try to keep it clean. And I will then randomly, or I'll actually let the computer randomly pick one entry to give it away to. And if that works, I've got a couple more and we'll do it again.
Oh, that's nice.
If this doesn't work, then I'll figure out some other way to do it.
Postcards.
But it's still not going to be, and take a shot at the trivia. Because there's no trivia you can't find on Google anymore.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so, I mean, I can say, what did Bill Gates say to me in 1979, and what did I say back
then? Get off my lawn. How did you get in here?
Right.
Who gave you this number?
I've called the police. here's the thing. Everybody should have some form of anti-spyware on their system. Super Anti-Spyware is an excellent product. What you get with Super Anti-Spyware is a bunch of things, and in the post there's a link to all of those things, but the big ones are real-time protection. Rather than having to run it by hand and update it by hand, you get real-time protection and automatic updates. You also get scheduled scanning. So if you're one of those people who leaves your machine on, or you know it's going to be on like at noon, you can schedule a scan for that time.
Right.
And you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, if you are a Windows, again, this is only Windows users, I apologize. The super nice spyware people sent it to me. They didn't send me anything for anybody else.
Well, we'll just have to talk up some Mac stuff and see what happens.
We'll have to see what happens.
All
but
right. I've got some ideas.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay. at any rate, so all you have to do is leave a comment in the system. Now, let me speak for a moment to all of you, including Hot Dog, who was kind enough to leave a comment. The problem is, of course, he left a comment saying, I don't need it. I just upgraded a week or so ago. So here's the deal, Hot Dog. Since you don't need it, I would want to remove your...
don't want him to accidentally be selected.
Right. We don't want you to accidentally be selected because that kind of wastes one of these things.
So make it easy for Nick.
So the problem is I can remove your comment. If I do, however, the only way I can remove it is to mark it as spam, which will cause you problems if you want to comment on anything else ever again.
Right.
If you yourself go in and delete it, then it's just a deleted comment.
You
and
know,
it's
good that you're explaining this.
Works differently.
Otherwise, people might get the wrong idea.
Right.
That's actually very thoughtful of you.
Thank you. So here is the deal. That will be the number one post on the site. I've made it sticky, so it will be at the top of the post for the entire week. So all you have to do is go to soundbites.org, make a comment on the post, and you will be entered into the contest. One entry per person, so don't bother. The software itself, the software that I'm using, will remove duplicates, so don't bother. Also, yes, you do need to be a member of the Soundbites website in order to leave a comment.
Okay.
Get over yourself. It's free.
Oh.
And
did I mention that's my favorite price?
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
Being a member is free. The Super Anti Spyware will be free.
If you win,
I don't know what more you can ask.
Well, how bad could it be?
How bad could it possibly be?
What else are you doing, really? You're listening to the radio.
So sign up, do your thing, become a member of the site, and we'll be on our way to giving away a copy. That's a $30 value, folks.
Sure.
It's not just a $30 value. It's an excellent piece of software which gives you peace of mind. And we all like peace of mind. We all prefer to be happy with our computers.
Mm-hmm.
And one way you can be happy is to use a product like Super Anti Spyware, and in fact, use Super Anti Spyware to keep your system safe. So I'm trying to give this away. We're trying to make your system safer for free. All you have to do is leave a comment. And if nobody leaves a comment, then the one person who did leave a comment will, in fact, apparently be the winner. So that's how that's going
to
work.
Yep. Now, one other thing, though, that I found off of our site that I went back to and got was that to change the Windows 10, when you click on that little window pane instead of the start button, you know, to click and to change the menu so it looks like Windows 7. I love that utility.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though.
That's a good one.
The one thing you got to do is when you're going to install that, just don't go click, click, click. Because there's a few other little programs that it wants to sneak in and throw in there for you.
A little drive-by.
So you can decline those two, and then it'll go right in, and it'll change the menu selection. So if you like the old Windows 7 where you could sit there and see all your old programs and the listings and all that, it's there. And you can swap. You can go back and forth between the Windows look of the apps or the Windows regular you know, mm-hmm. Windows 7 look. It is a great little utility.
What's the name of that one?
Is
it Classic Menu?
Yes, Classic Menu.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I recommend that.
Classic Menu. It was classicmenu.net.
Okay.
That I went and got it at, and it is fantastic. I
but
love
just,
it.
Just watch out for those tag-along programs.
Yes. When you're installing it, open it up so you can see the whole thing, because normally it wants to do just a little tiny window. But if you open it up, it'll show you that it's trying to install some other stuff. And if you're just hitting enter, you're accepting those. There is a button down the lower left-hand corner that you can click decline those two. And then it will install the classic menu. And it gives you three different options. It's really a cool little program.
Good.
Neat.
I like it. And again, it's listed there as a link off of our website. For folks that are on Windows 10 now but still want to get back to the old look, I highly recommend that one.
There you go. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Jim from Rochester, New York. Oh.
Oh, what?
Nope, no phones.
Psych.
Sorry, Jim. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break. We talked a long time. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Have I ever done this before? It's 20 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
See? Ooh, perfect.
Just like Steve.
Perfect.
I was practicing that.
He came running in at the last possible second, got his...
almost slid into the wall.
Slid into the wall, but got his thing in there.
That's right.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Jim from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi, Jim, what's up?
Hey, have you guys ever heard of something called Live Technician LLC?
Not off the top of my head.
I think it might be one of these spammy things.
I'm thinking so too. Yeah. Why? What did they call you?
Actually, it showed up on my computer. I'm building a computer, and I didn't have it quite done, but I forgot to unhook the network cable, and it showed up the next morning on my screen with some sort of a warning that I really need this service and so forth.
Yeah, that's clearly nonsense.
Yeah, that's what I figured. The guy was pretty interesting. He put something, I think it was called Citrix, onto my machine, and so he could show me stuff that he was collecting off my machine. So this I got to get rid of that somehow.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you may need to get to the point where you're starting from zero, because there's... The types of things that they install could be quite insidious and very, very hidden.
I just had one laptop that had some stuff really nastily buried all over it, and had some other utilities that I was able to finally get it out, but what a pain in the butt.
Right. So the rough scenario works like this. You get a message on your screen that says, oh my goodness, I can't believe how poorly your machine's performing, or clearly there's something very, very wrong, and they're going to use big, scary language and big red flashing letters, and it's going to sound horrible. And they say, but we're the only people who can help you. And they give you a phone number, and you give them a call, and then they proceed to do things on the computer that you might not fully understand, but that produce a result. And then they convince you that the result that they have for you is something horrible, and then therefore you should get out your credit card and help them, and they will help you get it all fixed up. And they'll use remote support software like Citrix or other join.me or other similar screen sharing tools to not only see your computer and have you click things, but then you also grant them permission so that they can click on things. And the problem is, not only can they click on things, but they can also install things remotely. Some of those tools allow them to do that. And they're great administrative tools when used by
administrators,
reputable people.
Sure.
But they have the power to be used for evil and not just for good.
Yeah, I would either dance a security tango immediately, or get it to someone who will do it for you.
I could probably still just wipe it and then
wipe the entire computer.
Well,
yeah,
maybe
the drive.
I mean, I haven't got that much stuff on it. Okay. It's all stuff that I'm still taking off an old computer.
It sounds like you might not have gotten that far into the process.
Yeah. So if you're that near the beginning, then yes, go ahead. But if you get those again, please, please ignore them. Do not ever answer. And this is for everybody listening.
Not just you.
When something pops up and says there's something wrong with your computer, click here. Don't click here. If necessary, turn your computer off.
Unplug it from the wall.
Unplug it from the wall. If, wait 10 minutes, turn it back on again. Do not ever, ever, ever answer those things. They are always a scam. No one from Microsoft, no one from Apple, no one from Google, and no reputable anybody is going to suddenly appear on your computer and tell you there's something wrong and it needs to be fixed, ever.
I can't believe I ever did it, because I'm very cautious about that stuff. All those things you said, I've heard before, and I believe. But, sometimes you step in it.
That's okay.
Sometimes you do, and that's fine. This is you're getting it fixed. Wiping your machine will fix that. or taking it to somebody who'll do that for you. We'll fix that. So go forth and sin no more.
Very good. Hey, now, on this last guy that was talking about this super anti-spyware,
yeah,
he mentioned a website member.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, here's the deal. We are giving away a copy, a serial number license, for super anti-spyware. So you can go from the free version to the pro version.
Get extra features.
And get extra features, automatic updates, automatic scanning, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
And to do that, you need to leave a comment. The very first post on the Soundbites website is Super Anti-Spyware Giveaway.
Okay.
And you need to leave a comment on that site, and then next Saturday morning, I will pick one random comment to give the serial number to. But to do that, you have to leave a comment. To leave a comment, you have to be a member of the Soundbites website, and that's free. Just sign up on the site, and that's under where the heck is that? Under Administrivia, down the middle column, which isn't actually in the middle, but the two of three columns. And then that's all. And that's all you have to do. Leave that comment, and then I will pick a person.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Thanks, guys. Thanks
Thank
for being
you,
there.
Jim. Okay. Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, it's a...
it's an easy
It is a two-step process. Join the site if you're not already a member, then leave a comment. But there's no other way I really could think of to do this that didn't involve a lot of rigmarole that I didn't want to go through, frankly. And so... all you have to do is become a member and leave a comment, and you will be entered in the giveaway.
Right.
So far, we have three comments, of which two are legit. well, the hot dogs is legit, but you got to remove
on
it.
On topic, yeah.
Right.
On message.
Right, right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Vic from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Vic. What's up?
Hi, guys. I installed Windows 10 on my wife's desktop, and... this problem I'm going to tell you about only occurs in Firefox, my favorite browser.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I cannot use print preview. When I use print preview, I get a print preview error. The selected printer could not be found. Now, it's checkmarked on the computer. I can print on Chrome. I can print on Edge. I can use print preview on Chrome and Edge. But Firefox won't let me use print preview.
Hmm. You may have to create a different profile and see if the new profile can print properly. That might be one troubleshooting step.
Yeah, that certainly would do it. So, are you running the latest version of Firefox? Well, it would come up and tell you. You know what? Have you ever used Microsoft Edge? Did you set the default printer there?
I think she likes Edge because she used to like Internet Explorer. That's pretty close. I think it is.
Okay, check to make sure.
Okay, let me go there.
We're on the air.
You're
going to do that on your own. And check your page settings to make sure that they're okay. That's really believe
that.
It or not, that's what Mozilla, who makes Firefox, says to do to fix it.
Wow.
I know.
So use Edge as the default?
No. In Edge, set the default printer to be your printer.
Then quit Edge, then go back to the Firefox and try and print.
Okay. Oh, in Edge. Okay. I wasn't in Edge. I was just... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll try that.
Yep.
Unfortunately...
And according to the Mozilla people, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, but that's what they say. They say that the way to do that is to set it correctly in Edge.
Amazing. Even we can learn things.
I can't believe that's going to work, but okay. And then you may have to reboot the system, but other than that, the theory is it's going to work.
The information came from a credible source, Vic. That's what we can tell you.
Now, I'm on the settings you're talking about in Edge. That's how I would do it?
Yes, yes. In Edge, you would go into settings in printer and set your default printer there, just the way you would in any other browser.
Okay, I don't see printer anywhere.
Okay.
So what we can do is we can post a link to the article where
perfect.
Where
that would
Nick
be great.
Found the information.
That would be great.
And we'll give that to the site, and then you'll be able to pick it up from there.
Thank you very much, guys.
You got it, Vic.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that at the break. Because
yep, we'll catch you.
It's under search devices and printers, but if you could not find it, then I'll put something up about that.
Up on the website. Yeah, we can do that.
We'll put the link on the website.
Cool.
It's easy.
I,
of course, can't see it because I have disabled cookies.
Oh.
For Microsoft, and they get very porky when you disable cookies. But okay, I don't care.
Right.
Our next caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Well, we're having a good time here. We're trying to move from two tower computers to one.
Okay.
So we use Google Drive.
Yeah.
So I've moved all the files from the one up to Google Drive and then access them on the other one.
Got it.
Make sense?
So
yes.
Far.
Okay. Problem is I'm having is I want to put them all into Google Docs format.
Right.
And I can't figure out how to do that because it just wants to copy them as is.
Right, right.
And not convert them.
Right. Right. Okay. So here's what you do. Under, of course, I can't. Oh, you son of a pup, you.
Trouble in Chromebook land, Nick?
Well, because I'm already on using Google Drive.
Yeah.
I have Google Docs open.
Uh-huh.
I can't just click on the Google Drive link and go to Google Drive.
Oh.
Because it says you're already there.
Yeah.
So now I have to actually type in drive.google.com. Unbelievable.
Type it in like some kind of animal.
I am a human being.
Where's my button? I want to click it.
And if you type for infinite amount of time, you'll eventually write Hamlet. I know.
Exactly. So at Google Drive itself, right in the My Drive area there, the very front page, in the upper right corner is a little gear. I know
no.
It looks like a black flower.
No, I don't. I'm not in the right place. I've opened up Google Drive.
Okay, drive.google.com.
So I have to go over my browser and do that.
Yes.
Okay.
He might have been in the Google Drive folder on his machine that was synchronizing with the cloud service. But if you do that and you go to the gear icon.
Right. Once you're in Google Drive at drive.google.com on your browser. In the upper right, you can write this down
and do it.
I know,
later.
I was supposed to send you this and I didn't. I knew I forgot something this week. I knew I forgot a lot of things this week. This was just one of them.
This is the thing you remembered.
That's right.
That you forgot.
Drive.google.com?
Yeah, drive.google.com.
Okay.
And you may have to sign in. Once you sign in, on the upper right, under your picture,
you will see a gear up there.
Little black gear, looks kind of like a flower. Click on that.
That's where the settings thing is.
That's right.
And that's settings. The second setting down is convert uploads. And if you check convert uploaded files to Google Docs editor format, then every file you upload
will go there.
You can also two down from that is offline. And if you check that, you will sync docs, sheets, slides, and drawings to that computer so you can then edit offline if you want to.
We're in settings.
Yeah.
Convert uploaded to Google Docs in the editorial format.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. That'll at least get me started.
There you go.
I know how to get to here now. That's a good thing.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Have a good time, you gentlemen.
Have fun.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I had a client call me this week with a Google Drive-related issue, and actually I'm glad that Brian called because it helps make me think about that. So they had a Word document, and they pulled it up to Google Drive, opened it in Google Docs, and everything looked pretty good until they went to try and print it. And then they received a small little box at the beginning of every single word whenever they tried to print.
It's a font problem.
Yes, you're right. It was a font problem. What I determined was when I selected the text, none of the fonts were selected. It didn't tell me what font this particular word was. But when I changed it, it was a sans serif font. So I changed it to Arial. And once I did that, then the boxes went away. So the question is, how do I add the font that I care about to Google Docs so that if they import other documents, that they won't have to jump through that same hoop?
Well, in Microsoft Word, you can embed fonts.
Okay.
But there are many fonts that are specifically and only Microsoft owned.
Okay.
And if you have used one of those, you are, what's the technical parlance? Out of luck.
Yes, right.
So what we tell people is you want to always use web-safe fonts.
Okay.
Those are compatible across every platform.
Now, Google has a whole collection of fonts.
And
right?
I was about to say, you can also use Google fonts.
Okay.
Google fonts are installable on Windows, on Macs, on Linux. You can use them in Google Docs. You can use them pretty much everywhere.
Okay. So
and they have over 800 of them.
So here's what had happened. The person A created the document, uploaded it to Google Docs. Person B was on a different flavor computer. A particularly fruit-flavored computer.
Yeah.
and went to go look at this in their browser and printed out and got this horrible symptom. But now it sounds like the first guy, person A, had the font on their machine. Person B just simply didn't.
Right. All right. If you're on the line, stay on the line because we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We have a lot of people who are commenting on the giveaway. Many of you have never commented before, so I have to approve your first comment so that I know it isn't spam.
Right.
But I will be doing that all week. So if you haven't seen your comment just yet, it's because you commented while I was on the air and I have to get, and I don't multitask anymore. I'm old. So we're just going to go back to the phones and talk to Mark from Hemlock, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
My son's got an HP laptop that's about 5 years old.
Okay.
That he tried to upgrade to Windows 10 last night, and it made it partway through the process, and then it was said it was not responding, so he shut it off. He turned it back on. He got a message that it said it failed to reconfigure, and it was reverting, I think probably reverting back to Windows 7.
Right.
And it tried to shut down, and now it just sits and says it's shutting down for hours, but doesn't shut down.
Ooh. Yeah, this has happened to a few people. The only thing you can do at this point is to just shut it down manually and turn it back on and see what happens. There are, unfortunately, particularly with older machines, there are some machines that are simply not properly compatible with Windows 10, and they will cause errors. Theoretically, Microsoft is supposed to catch those machines. They have an upgrade a program that says, are you compatible with upgrading? But some people don't run it, and the program itself often doesn't catch this stuff. At this point, that's the only thing you can do to try it. If that doesn't work, then it gets much more convoluted, and I would suggest you take it to a reputable dealer and have them look at it.
Okay, so if he shuts it down manually, and then when he restarts it, it won't come back?
Well, if it doesn't come back. Right. Then
he was able the one time to get it to open in the boot up in safe mode.
That may help, but definitely, if you want it to work normally, then shut it down, turn it back on again, see what happens. If it doesn't work, take it to a reputable dealer.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah,
we're going to be hearing, I think, a lot of that. That's people who waited till the last minute and
there's
therefore
no minute like the last minute, you know.
What?
There's no minute like the last minute.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right.
Yeah, it's
it was
it's
Douglas tough. Adams, I think, who said, "I love deadlines. I love the sound they make when they go whooshing by."
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
it's tough. Transitions in general are always a little bit hairy, and they can be even more hairy when you're dealing with millions upon millions of people.
Right. And you know, 99.9% of the people had no trouble.
True.
That doesn't really help you when you're the one having trouble.
That's right.
I do understand that. All right, our next caller is Don from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Don. What's up?
Well, I did one of those stupid things.
Uh-oh.
I got a notice. I was in Chrome. I got a notice about upgrading my Chrome, and I did it. And suddenly I had a black screen.
Okay.
I'm in a black Chrome screen. So I deleted Chrome using Vivo Pro, and then went back through with Edge, and went to Google and downloaded Chrome again, and I got the same thing. So I deleted it again, and then the next time I went to use Edge, I got a black screen and a beep, 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 beep,
oh boy,
sort of thing. And a big thing says, don't turn off your browser. Don't turn off your machine. Call this number. So I turned the machine off.
Yeah. Good. We're with you so far.
And so I decided I wanted to run my antivirus and my things in safe mode. Now I can't get into safe mode.
What version of Windows are you using?
10.
Yeah, trying to get in safe mode is rather tricky because you've got to do, it's not like the old days that you could do, you know, a key sequence. You actually got to go in, get into Windows and tell it to restart in safe mode.
And how do I do that?
Because you can't get in, it won't let you get into Windows at all right now?
Oh, I can get into Windows.
Yeah.
But when I go to anything that says restart, sleep, or shut down.
You got to go into the system, you got to go into settings and into the system, and there's a, I haven't memorized it yet, but there's a way to get in there, and you can tell it to recover in safe mode.
Okay.
The thing of it is, though, it sounds like, yeah, you've got antivirus, but here's the thing. Viruses aren't as prevalent nowadays as much as spyware and malware.
Yeah.
Spyware and malware are what's taking over machines. It's allowing things in, like that screen that you got that says, don't do this. Matter of fact, last week I did an Uncle Dave story hour, which I hadn't done in quite a few years, on the exact same thing. I had so much fun with this company calling them back and tormenting them because they wanted me to, you know, turn over $275 and, you know, this and that and all this. And I go, because they had control of my machine. I go, how do you have control of it? I haven't let you in yet. You're lying. And when I threatened to turn them over to the authorities, all of a sudden they quick hung up.
Click.
And when I tried to call them back, of course, they had put my name on, my number on block, so they wouldn't let me back in to have any more fun.
Well, here's the thing. There's two ways to do this that are easy. Well, there's one way to do it that might work at boot up. Holding down the F8 key or the Shift F8 key, depends on your BIOS.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, when you get into Windows, if you click on the little start menu thing in the lower left, one of your choices is power, and you have three choices under that: sleep, shut down, and restart.
Yes.
Hold the shift key down while you select restart.
I'll try that.
That will restart it in safe mode.
Oh, that's a neat little trick.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you can also do that from the sign-on screen, by the way. You don't even have to sign in. If you have it set that you have to type your username and password to sign in, you can do that from the you click on the power button, and before you click on restart, hold down the shift key.
Okay. I'll try that, because right now, I tell you, even Edge isn't working.
Yep. It is possible you may need to take it to a reputable vendor and have them take a look at it, but try this first.
Okay, very good.
All right.
I'll do an upgrade of malware bytes on my other computer and load that in, too.
There you go.
And SpyBot.
Okay. Yeah, those are good ideas.
Perfect. Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right.
It's cool to know that on the shift key.
Yeah.
I didn't know that little trick.
Shift restart. Yeah.
They're changing so much. Why they, again, couldn't leave things alone. Windows F8 has been...
They can't charge you for it if they don't change something.
Yeah. And, but they're out of ideas because Apple has the shift key that you hold down when it's starting up to enter a safe boot as well.
Yep.
So, they just looked around and said, well, what's everybody else doing for this?
Yeah.
What are we going to change it to? Well, yep. Apple's doing the shift key.
Let's do that.
The other thing you can always do is to download... once Windows is working properly, you can create a recovery CD or a recovery flash drive.
Right.
And then boot with that. And that will help. But if you're going to use a boot drive, the problem with boot drives is that they are writable and they are therefore also susceptible to viruses.
That's true.
So the safest thing to do is to get one of those little USB devices that takes an SD card.
Oh, yeah.
And then you, because SD cards have a lock on them.
They have a little switch that
right.
you press.
So once you create your recovery
disk,
you write protect it, and then when you start with it, you can't accidentally write to it again. So that's my tip for that. But in general, yeah, absolutely. Make sure you make that recovery disk. Everybody listening to me, after you're done doing the backup you started at the top of the show, make a recovery CD or a recovery disk.
Right. Flash drive.
Flash drive.
And you know what? Now that we're getting into the, and I hate to say it because I bet my kids might be listening, maybe, that it's the time of year where people are having back to school sales, and one of the things that's often on sale this time of year is a nice big USB flash drive.
Yep.
So it's never been a better time of the year to grab one of those. They probably come in a 2 or 3 pack these days because they're just so cheap, and get one of those and definitely do that backup.
Definitely do a backup. Make sure you have a good backup. Taking 2 or 3 different backups is not a bad thing to do, so get it done. I think we have time to at least take Ed's call. Ed from Ithaca, New York. What's up, Ed?
Hi, guys. Thanks. First, I'm having trouble accessing your archives from the last couple of weeks. There doesn't seem to be anything posted.
Right. The archives from the last couple of weeks are down because Steve is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest. When he gets back, when he clears his name, he'll be back, and he'll catch up on those things.
Okay, great. I'll look forward to that. Now, I wanted to find out what programs you recommend for transferring cassettes to digital.
Wow.
Well, there are a couple of good ones. Now, the thing about cassettes is that, are you talking about things you recorded yourself or things that you have cassettes from your earlier days?
Recorded myself.
Okay. So cassettes, you can use a product like, what is it, Amadeus?
Audacity.
Audacity. Yep. Audacity is a nice tool because, number one, it's free. And number two, they make it for a bunch of different operating systems. You can get it for the Mac. You can get it for PC. You can get it, I even think, for Linux. And it will let you pick the input port that you're using, and you click the big red record button and press play on your cassette player, and you can see the waveform as things are recorded. And you can go back and play it. You can amplify things that need to be amplified if they're not quite the way you want. It gives you a lot of options for editing. You can also break it out so that each song or performance is in its own file. It's a great tool. Doesn't cost a lot. There's a slight learning curve, but it doesn't take long.
Sounds good.
So start with that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Anytime. There you go. Audacity is free, and it runs pretty much on every system.
Yep.
So I think you you should take a look at Audacity. It's a great program.
Yeah, well, my day job is working at the Eastman School of Music, and we do a few things with recordings there.
You think?
Well, I'm in the technology and media production department, so there's...
There you go.
we do that from time to time. So when professors ask us, what should I be using to record stuff, and, you know, just incidental things, we say, you know, Audacity is a great place to start. Doesn't cost anything, and it's a great tool. And anything you learn there in that tool will be transferable to other things, too.
Yep, yep. It's a great place to start. Always start for free. If it doesn't do everything you want, what have you lost?
That's
nothing.
Right.
You've learned
time.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And you've spent a little time.
That's right.
But in general, yeah. So look at Audacity. It's a great product, and it's free.
That's right.
On pretty much every platform. So I don't know that it runs on phones, but it certainly runs on Windows, Linux, and
that's right. I think they have on an iPhone. They have a voice recorder app that you can use,
right?
If you want to plug in a microphone and record with your phone, you can definitely do that. But for on machines themselves, that's what I would do.
Yep.
I think GarageBand is available for the iPad, and you can record directly to that. So you've got options.
You've got options, and we've got to take a break. You have wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense, but we're going to give you the chance to do it again after a few minutes. So don't go anywhere important, or if you do, come right back, because we're going to be bringing you a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, with the great Dennis Worster, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. And for no discernible reason, we continue to be the longest-running computer show in the known universe, right here on the Truly Great. And let us never lose sight of the fact that we are solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, let me reiterate that we are in the middle of a giveaway.
That's right.
The folks at Super Anti-Spyware were kind and generous enough, God bless them, each and every one.
That's right.
To give us some copies of the professional version of Super Anti-Spyware. To give away for free. That's a $30 value. I'm giving one away this week, and it's real, real easy to get it. All you have to do is leave a comment in the post called Super Anti-Spyware Giveaway. Really not that hard.
You can do this.
You do have to be a member. Joining is free. If you scroll down the middle column there, you'll see under Administrivia, the first thing is register.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not registered, and if you are, then you just log in and leave your comment. And then next Saturday, I will randomly pick one person from the list of comments to receive a copy. What happens is you install the free version, and then you put in the serial number that I give you, and then you have a professional, a paid version,
right,
for a year.
Yep.
And it's $29.95, or as we call it, $30. And so it's a free for a year copy for $30.
Nice.
And all you have to do is leave a comment in the comments section.
Yes. And if any of the people from Ferrari America are listening, I would like to give away a Ferrari, so be sure and give us a call, if those people are around.
The people who will be eligible are sitting in this room.
That's right. If the people who make Haagen-Dazs ice cream or Ben and Jerry's are listening, I would definitely like to talk to those people as well.
Or the folks at Google giving away phones and Chromebooks and watches. And
well, especially Tuesday, the new Galaxy 7 Note comes out.
Yep.
And if they need somebody to test it.
They just might.
They could twist my arm.
That's right. You're only an email away.
You're a strong man.
Dave at jazz901.org. I'd be glad to test one out and give my true opinion of it.
That's right. That's right. Give us the opportunity to sell ourselves out.
Yeah, really. That's right. I'd be more than happy if those companies out there, wouldn't mind an honest tester.
There you go.
Put it through its paces.
We could talk about it.
All right. But we want to thank the folks at Super Nice Spyware for making this possible.
Yes.
And we want to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Oh, hi, guys. How's it going?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, we're doing fine. On that review Dave wants to do, as long as Uncle Dave doesn't do the review, it'd probably be okay.
You're right.
Yikes. That would be horrible.
A couple of things on Windows 10. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Found that a number of the older HP DeskJet printers don't want to work.
Yep.
You go into HP and they say there's no support. But if you go out to the forums on HP, you find out that there are workarounds that actually do work.
Okay.
Right. Generally, if you tell Windows 10 the printer is a generic, what is it?
HP 990 seems to be the one. At least I have a 6122. And as you take off anything you have, completely clean it out, start from scratch, it'll automatically look, so no, that's not my printer, and you click on it, and you go in, say, add a new printer, and you select your port, use the USB 001, and then it says, okay, what's my printer? You go to the listing that says, it'll come up with HP, and then Hewlett Packard, you take the HP, and you go over and find HP 990C.
Right, and you don't get all the features necessarily, but it works.
Yeah, the print's fine, and I use it as a backup printer right at the computer, so I don't have to go out and do another room, and, it's my lazy thing. But, if it's something fast that I want real quick, it works.
There you go.
I can still get cartridges for it, so what the heck.
Right. Right.
Well, that's so I can't get cartridges anymore, then it goes bye-bye.
So you said DeskJet 990?
Yep.
Okay.
C
for color.
Well, for a color printer, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And that was, and there's stuff all, and there's, there's stuff all over the forums. How do I make my old printer work? And that seems to be the answer that keeps coming up.
Okay,
from
thanks.
Their in-house experts.
Okay.
We got it. That's good. Thank you so much.
Do you
for
have
sharing.
Something else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Last week after I had talked to you about the swap file, and after I got through writing stuff down, I turned it back on and got in the middle of a gentleman saying that there's easy ways to customize the start menu, and unfortunately he was rattling off and I couldn't get it written down fast enough.
The one you want is called Classic Menu. Classic Menu is a good one.
What that is about replacing the Windows 10 menu with essentially the Windows 7 menu.
Right.
Okay. But he was saying how to get to it quickly and easily, and I couldn't get the steps fast enough. And that didn't get posted on the site after the
I think it's classicmenu.net.
I'll look it up.
Because he was saying actually in Windows, and he was saying what to click to get to the settings, but that's okay.
Oh, settings. Okay, that's not a menu. You want to get to the device manager or something along that line.
Well, he said that there was easy ways to customize the start menu or the Windows 10 start menu.
Yeah, that's that program that you download.
There's no way to do it inside Windows. There's no
Classic Menu.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. You have to download a program called Classic Menu.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because he was saying click this, and this, and it wasn't. It sounded like he was actually in Windows doing stuff.
Okay. Right. I don't know what
it was you think you heard, but...
Well, I got into it towards the end, and that was kind of what messed it up. Okay, last week I'd asked you about the swap file because I wanted to put it someplace other than on my SSD drive.
Right.
And you told me you hit the WinR and then Settings, Performance, Advanced tab, and Change Virtual Memory.
Right.
And when I went to WinR and put in Settings, it didn't like it. I put in the word settings, and it says it didn't like that.
I think you may have missed a step.
That's kind of what I figured, so I figured I'd call back and you'd disabuse me of my misconceptions.
We'll look that up for you.
Yeah, what you need to do, you press the WinR key.
Right.
Which opens up the
window, yeah.
The window. There should be a settings button under the performance section.
So we're checking that out.
Right, so you type...
All right, because I put Control-R, I get a box that says Run.
Right.
Type the name of program, folder, document, or internet resource.
Right,
and
you type System Properties Advanced.
So what am I typing in under Open?
See, I'm going to put a link.
Yep, we'll post this up for you.
I'll put a link, not until we take a break, but I'll put a link, and then we don't have to go through all the steps. And there's a bunch of them. So
That's cool.
We'll put a link up at the break.
I appreciate that.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yep, burr.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, so we find that that's a great way to do it. We find resources while the callers come in, and then we grab that link and put it in a place where it will continue to be, even while we're off the air.
Right.
And that way people can get to it. It seems to work out really well.
Now, it won't be at the top of the page, because the sticky at the top of the page is about the giveaway.
For now, yep.
For this week, but it'll be on the page. All right, our next caller is David from Penfield, New York. Hiya, David. What's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's up?
I encourage everybody to become a member.
There you go.
Of Jazz 90.1.
Absolutely.
And it's easy to do, by the way. All you have to do is go to jazz901.org and click the Become a Member button.
Yep. Definitely a requirement for listening to this excellent show.
That's what I like to hear. Thanks.
I would like to hear your comments about... I've noticed that on my wonderful new, HP laptop, they've gone to this unified extensible firmware interface, UEFI, mm-hmm. versus the old BIOS, which makes things a lot more complicated as far as making a dual boot system.
Right.
And so I was wondering if you had any comments about dealing with the UEFI and a dual boot system, or if you've just avoided the whole thing and gone to something like VMware or VirtualBox or something of that order.
Well, for those who are happy with redoing their entire machine, something along the lines of VMware or VirtualBox is really...
It's convenient.
It's convenient. You can put Hyper-V or any one of those front ends on your machine and then run whatever operating systems you want. You can also just run VMware or WinBox
VirtualBox.
Yeah. VirtualBox in the machine itself and then boot Linux in that.
Right.
The whole point behind, well, it depends on who you listen to, okay? You can also use WUBI, WUBI.
Right.
And that'll work. But the deal is, UEFI was originally designed, as a way to lock systems down, ostensibly against viruses, but they also make it difficult to do anything but boot the original operating system.
Right.
If you are looking to run something like Ubuntu, anything from 16.04 on, most of those issues are now solved. When you go to install, it understands the idea of UEFI and will mostly handle it properly, depending on how old your UEFI is, of course.
Uh-huh.
So it's and that includes things like secure boot and stuff like that. Basically, yes, it was designed to be a lockdown mechanism, which was masquerading as a security thing.
To keep the bad guys out, supposedly.
Right. And what it did was make it very difficult to do anything like dual booting. So people get around it with things like VirtualBox or like WUBI or any of those sort of things.
So since we're jumping into that realm, what's your personal preference or experience as far as the those kinds of things, VirtualBox or VMware or Wubi or whatever?
Well, I go the other way. I boot under Linux and then run VirtualBox for my Windows stuff.
You've inverted the solution.
Yeah.
In my world, it all comes down to how much horsepower does the VM need to do what it's going to do. Anytime you run a virtualized OS on top of another one,
right, you're going to slow it down.
You're not only slowing it down, but you're just sharing resources between two different OSs. So you're not giving as much memory to the first one and to the second one. So it's a compromise.
Right.
If you need a lot of horsepower or a lot of resources, dual booting into that alternative OS, whatever that happens to be, is the best way to make sure that it gets the resources it needs to do what you intend for it to do.
Right.
So it comes down to a trade-off between convenience and performance.
Right.
Right.
And so, Dennis is exactly right. So what you do depends on what you want to boot with and what you want to put in your virtual box. I do 99.9999999% of everything I do in Linux.
Right.
So those once in a while things that I want to do under Windows, I can boot a virtual box to do that.
I guess being a total neophyte as far as the Linux world goes, I had slight concerns about the availability of the necessary drivers to make my laptop semi-happy at the same time. And so
certainly the
virtual box approach, running the crappy Windows underneath it, which already has all the drivers, was appealing from that perspective, but I realize that there is downsides.
No. But what I was about to say is you can also go the other way. So if you're already running Windows, putting VirtualBox on and then running Ubuntu or something else in it, or using, there's a program, like I said, called Wubi, W-U-B-I. And that does a similar sort of thing. The basic idea being, particularly if you're not familiar with Linux and you want to become more familiar with it and you're willing to understand that it will be slow.
Yeah.
Right. It's a great way to learn.
Yes.
It also depends on your laptop. If it's a dual core laptop, you've now cut the power in half.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're giving one to each processor.
Right.
If it's only got like 4 gig of RAM, then you're running probably 2 or 1.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a power user, so I usually only have one application running at a time.
There you go. So when it comes to that, you will look at it and say this is very slow, but you will understand why.
Yes, and not only that, getting played off the. But,
all right, hang on. Don't hang up.
We'll, okay, good
right,
thanks.
Right. We'll come back to this conversation in a couple of minutes. It is 19 minutes after the hour. Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, Nick Francesco, you. Member-supported Jazz 90.1. It is Soundbites.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
He's so light on his feet.
So light on my butt. I'm chair dancing. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we have David from Penfield still on the line. David.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So what I was going to say is when you start getting into the VM world, one of the things that you get one of the nice things about it is that the company, whether that's VMware or whether that's some other provider, will often give you a machine that is defined in software, and that means they can make you drivers for whatever OS you want to put on it. Sometimes they'll call those the VMware tools first per se, and then that way you don't have to go hunt for those drivers for Linux because the provider's already given you those, and you know that they'll work.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, one other question.
Yes.
I have a little bit of documentation on VirtualBox, so I can read about that, and I read a little bit about VMware, but I certainly haven't heard of Wubi. Any comments about that, Nick, since you were talking about it?
Yeah, Wubi is, of course, I forget exactly what it means, but it's an officially supported, by Ubuntu, an officially supported installer, as far as I know, only for up to 7, but I haven't tried it on 10 yet. So I don't know that it's a thing you want to do, but it's the Ubuntu installer for Windows. And
oh, okay.
So if you're doing Windows 10, I don't know that I'd go for it yet. So forget about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Everybody should become a member.
That's right.
Thank you so
much.
Have
a great one.
Thanks. You too.
Cool.
Yeah. Wubi lets you install and uninstall Windows safely.
Ah.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Ubuntu safely through Windows. But it isn't necessarily, I don't know that it works with 10. I have not tried it. I have not played with it. So I can't say one way or the other yet.
Right. Well, yeah. In the Mac world, I use a lot of VMware products.
Yeah, and I use a lot of VirtualBox. It's free. It comes with Linux.
Right.
I've used it on Windows. It's a pretty cool thing. All right. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Yeah, I called last week. I was saying how it's easy to add documents and downloads and pictures to your start menu.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as going to the settings in the start menu.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to settings, you're going to have a whole list of things, and one will be personalize.
Okay.
Go to personalize.
Uh-huh.
On the left-hand side, you'll see start.
Yeah, you told us all this last week because I wrote all this down.
Right. This is what the gentleman tried to do. And then when you go to the start in the personalization, at the very bottom, it says choose which folders that appear in start.
Right.
Right.
And you can
right.
turn on and off any folders you want to appear, the ones they allow you to.
That's
and, very easy. And then you get to bring those things back in without having to download any software or anything like that. It's real simple.
Yeah, so. Excellent. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you again, Mark.
Yep. Bye.
If you do want to use the software, those settings are true. But if you do want to use we have some real-time follow-up. The tool we were talking about is called Classic Shell, not Classic Menu. It has the ability to make your Windows 10 start menu look more like a Windows 7 start menu. So classicshell.net is the place to go for that.
There you go.
And that's the one Dave was talking about.
All right, our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's up?
This concerns something in iPad mail.
Okay.
I have an iPad and an iPad mini. Uh-huh. In my iPad, when I'm in my mail and I'm checking my email, at the top it says mailboxes, and then I choose all inboxes.
Uh-huh.
But on my mini, it just says inbox. And I have three accounts, and on my mini, I have to choose each one when I want to look for my mail.
Mm.
And I was just wondering what happened. I've got the latest update, and I wonder how I can get all inboxes at the top of my left-hand column on my mini.
If you go to, let's see. If you go to the settings application,
yes.
There is a mail section there, and I'm jumping in there myself on my own iPad while I talk about this, so I apologize if I sound a little bit disjointed.
Okay.
The first thing I would have said was be sure and make sure you've got the latest OS on the mini as well.
Yes.
Clearly the difference is a configuration one, since the software theoretically would be the same on both machines.
That's right. So I would probably put the two machines side by side, go to settings, go to mail contacts and calendars, and take a look at those settings
and
see what differentiates.
Mail, contacts, and calendars.
Yes, I have that.
Okay. Yep.
And both.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
Make sure that the section
by having them side by side, that way you can check the settings against one another and make the iPad mini look just like the iPad.
Right.
And theoretically, that should set that for you.
Or do a hard restart of the mini. Press and hold the
That's a good idea. Right.
You know, a restart can, it's surprising how much a restart can fix.
Yeah.
Right. I have done that. Okay. Thanks for that. Can I ask one more, please?
Go.
For my mail, do I want to fetch or push?
It depends on your battery and how much your how often you want to plug it in to recharge.
The idea, the difference between them is push will give you a message every time it comes in.
faster.
Okay. So let's say I send you a message, you immediately get a push notice.
Okay.
Alternately, fetch, you decide when your mail comes in. So you may not want to look at mail except once every hour.
Yes.
And so by that way, you fetch the mail, and then you decide how often you look at it and what you see. So that's the big difference. Push is more real time. Fetch is on your time.
Right.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks for giving us a call.
Thanks. Yeah, so you know, make the decision on which you prefer.
Right.
Some people, oh my God, I have to get it right now.
Yes.
We were talking about FOMO.
Everybody's a little different with that.
We were talking with Dave earlier today about FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes. They want to make sure that they get it right away.
That's right. That's right.
Push is a good way to do that, but it comes at the expense of battery life. You know, it takes a little bit extra CPU power to do that, and it takes some battery.
Right, right. I always tell people... What's the line from Be Cool when Danny DeVito is talking to John Travolta? He says, "But it's not very fast." And Travolta looks at him and says, "If you're important enough, they'll wait." I feel that
I gotta see that.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. But the basic idea there is I don't let the computer rule my life.
Yeah. Relax, man.
You know, if it's my wife or my daughter, I answer immediately.
Right.
Everybody else can wait.
But they're probably not emailing you. They're probably...
Well, they're right. They're texting. Well, that's what I'm saying. If a text comes in, I look. Right. If it's not my wife or my daughter, I may not answer it right away because I'm doing something else.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever you're doing is more important than anything that might interrupt you.
Right.
Living in the moment.
All of that is a convenience for me.
Sure.
Not for you.
Right. So if the phone rings during dinner, you don't jump up and get it.
Is that selfish and... egocentric? Probably. And I don't care. Because I'm selfish.
Because you're selfish and egocentric.
Back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Today's your day for HP printer problems.
Okay.
Apparently.
And I'm going to see if you're smarter than the HP forum. Oh,
probably not.
So I have an HP LaserJet Pro 400 color printer.
Color LaserJet, nice.
Yeah, it is. It is gorgeous. 2 weeks ago, my computer wouldn't boot. I went in and checked the BIOS, and the boot section wasn't even there, so that all got fixed.
Okay.
But when I sent a job to my printer, it just went to the printer. Printer didn't do anything.
Okay.
So now I'm uninstalling, reinstalling. I've done... But when I do an install, it literally takes 20 minutes, and it's right at the end. It says its installation took too long to execute. This is a fatal error.
So it's timed out. So is this printer connected via USB or is it?
Yes, USB.
Okay.
Now, one thing I did find, looking at printer properties or driver properties.
Yep.
I have two listings for the HP printer.
Uh-huh. Probably with the ports.
Well, one is slightly different. One's a PCL6 and the other is a PS.
Yep.
There's a... I cannot delete either one because it says they're busy.
Yep. I ran into this exact thing at my day job literally yesterday with an HP color laser printer. What we determined was the PCL6 driver was not going to fly. And we had a couple of situations where we had to go in and remove all of the port entries for the printers. Once we pulled all those out, we reinstalled the printer, we handed it the PostScript driver, and then it was doing well. One of the weird symptoms was when it was trying to use that PCL6 driver, we could send a print test page. It would actually wake up the printer. You could hear the fan turn on. You could hear the fuser warm up. But it would never feed anything through the printer engine, so no paper was coming off the tray or going through the fuser or the imager. But once we switched over to the PostScript driver, everything was right as rain.
But I can't remove them. When I try to remove it, it says there's a job. You can't remove it because there's a job queued.
Right, okay. But what you need to do is to remove the port, is what you're saying.
Yeah, anytime I end up with a weird situation where something seems hung like that, the first thing I do is a restart. Just to see if...
Believe me, there have been 6,000 restarts.
Okay. So we've got to try and to clear out the queue.
I've restarted with it turned on and plugged in. plugged in and not plugged and not connected at all. So I've tried every way to clear that drive, and I have no idea how to do it.
Amazing. What did the forum say?
The forum actually got I had 32 views and no comments.
Of course. Okay.
Of course you do. Here's the thing that I would suggest that you do. Under Windows 10.
Was this under 10?
Is this Windows 10?
Yes, it is 10.
Okay.
Okay, so what you need to do is clear out the print queue.
Yep.
Right, so you need to find out, right.
I can't get to it to clean it out.
Right. Can you right-click the printer icon and select and see the print queue?
Yes, I can. I can't see the print queue. I see the printer.
Okay.
Okay. But I don't see the queue.
Okay, there should be a little left, a little upward pointing arrow next to the clock that lets you see the various printers. And when you choose a printer, it should bring up the print queue, and you're saying it does not.
Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't see it there. So when I look at my printers, it's actually now it's not even listed. But I can't. It's in the printer drivers driver properties. Two of them listed there.
Okay. Now we'll do it the hard way. If you go into services, do you know how to get to the services?
Yes.
Find the print spooler and click stop.
Okay.
Right, because you can see the print spooler across the top. Of course, are the buttons like it was a VCR.
Uh huh.
Click the stop button.
Okay.
And that should theoretically allow you to do that. And then in Windows Explorer. You go into your Windows directory, System32, spool, printers, and you should see a list of the various jobs, and delete them. Don't delete the printer folder itself, just the files inside it.
Okay.
Then you can start up the service again, and now your stuck print job should be gone, and you should be able to do everything else you need to do.
Right, sounds good.
All righty.
Hopefully I don't have to... listen to this again on the podcast.
Right.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good luck, guys. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a... that was a little bit technical, but that's the way printers work. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes, with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, I say at 44
what?
Minutes after the hour.
It's whispered
yeah,
quiet.
But that music's okay.
It ducks fine.
We are Sound Bites, and we have Bill from Brighton on the line. Welcome, Bill. What's up?
Yesterday, I started with 6 Windows 7s. I tried to upgrade to Windows 10.
Uh-huh.
The first one went easy. The second one went moderately easy. The third one went difficult, but we got them loaded. Fourth one was a Windows 7 machine that wasn't taking updates for a long time. I tried to get Windows 10 on. Wouldn't take that either. Gave up on it. the next machine...
Bill, you got a question for us?
I tried to... updated, and
Bill,
I ended up with a hard drive with no operating system, corrupted operating system, and it won't even start.
Hey, Bill.
Well, so, Bill, what's your question? Bill, wait a minute. What's your question?
We got a lot
question?
Of people on the line. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, right. What is it?
The last one is a laptop.
Okay.
It was
just
updating, got to the final stage of Windows 10.
This is why I charge every hour, people.
All I have is a black screen.
Yeah.
And I plugged it into another monitor, and still nothing.
Yep. How old are these machines, Bill?
This one's probably 4 years old.
Yeah. The
Video hardware.
This is what we've been telling people for weeks. You wait till the last minute, there's very little we can do.
Sure.
The reality is that a lot of older machines had issues that could be fixed, but now if you fix them, they'll cost you...
time, for sure.
Well, they'll cost you money because the free upgrade is gone.
Well, I'm going to convert it to Linux.
Oh, well, that's okay then. That's a whole different story.
But I have a black screen.
You're converting these to Linux or to Windows 10?
Well, I was almost done with Windows 10, but it stopped and just gave me a black screen.
Right. So when you go to convert it to Linux, you just plug a Linux CD or flash drive in, start the machine and go from there.
Yep.
And it has nothing to do with the broken Windows installation. It'll just, you tell it overwrite all of that and it will. There's no correlation between what Windows won't do anymore and what Linux will do when it's installed.
Can I save any of the data that's on there?
Not at this point. You got to do the backups before you do the installs.
Okay. If I bought Windows 10, would I be able to save it? If I chose to do that, would it save the data?
Pretty unlikely.
If the drivers aren't there or if the hardware isn't compatible.
The only thing you could do is possibly take that hard drive out, put it into another machine as a second drive. And from there, you could then pick and choose the stuff that you want to pull off of it.
Right.
Do you have a recovery CD?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have that. It's okay. I'll do what Dave said. Then I'll convert to Linux. We're flying.
Right. Okay. There is a CD you can download called System Rescue CD. It's system-rescue-cd.org. And that may, and I reiterate,
emphasize,
may
yeah.
read the drive and let you pull files off it. But I'm not going to make any promises.
Okay, is that link on there? Because I couldn't quite hear you. Is your link on your site?
I'll put the link on it when I get a second.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. I just couldn't quite hear,
I get it.
Keep repeating it.
Yep, I get it. Normally when Steve is here, he does all that, but it's me doing everything right now. So,
thank you very much. You have a nice day. I appreciate your help.
Thanks, okay, you thanks, too. Bill. Bye-bye.
Yep. And to follow up with a person named Tom that called in with an iOS iPad question. He had two iPads. He wanted to make mail appear. He was having one that would show all the inboxes, one that would also show them all together, and the other was only showing them individually. It turns out the setting I was looking for is actually in the mail application itself. It's up at the top of the listing. There's an edit button, and you can hit the checkbox next to the all inboxes line item. You can even drag that all inboxes thing up to the top if you want to. But once you do that, then they will all appear under one listing and be the same between your iPad mini and your regular iPad.
Okay, excellent.
Sounds like we have another call here.
Yep, our next caller is Rich from Irondequoit, New York. And oh, no, hold on a second. Steve will get to know. What's his name, Dave?
I think it's still Dave over there.
Dave will get to it in a second.
That's all right.
Our next caller is Rich.
He's wearing out a shoe leather.
From Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Rich?
Hello, guys. I'll get right to my question. Backup software. What do you recommend? I have Western Digital 1 terabyte portable hard drives that come with a program that I really haven't played with really don't know how to use, but I was just wondering if you recommend anything else.
Windows or Mac?
I had used SyncToy from Microsoft for a while, but I was just wondering if there was maybe anything better or... anything
do you have a separate hard drive you're backing up onto, or do you want to back up onto the web, or what are you doing?
I'm backing up onto the 1 terabyte hard drives, portable hard drives, USB.
Okay. Probably whatever program that you got with that should be, probably good enough. I mean, any backup than no backup, but if it's Western Digital, it comes with, there's one or two programs that they use, all of which are good. So I would suggest that you give those a try first. You know, the beauty of that is if you don't like it, you can always try something else. You've already got a backup.
Right.
Right. And when I've tried those very little, but it just seems like a lot harder to use than, you know, like I said, I was using SyncToy.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you like SyncToy, use that.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a recommended backup software? You know,
As long as it works and you're happy with it, it's a great piece of software.
Okay, it's good enough.
Yep.
Okey-doke.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yep. Right. Have fun.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That's a good one. I'd like to use my cloud service provider. So I'm a CrashPlan user, so I use CrashPlan. It backs up to the cloud, but I've also got it backing up to a local device as well. So I have a second copy. So when I need to restore something, I've got two places to choose from. If it's a big file, I can get it from my local drive and restore it back much more quickly than I can if I have to download it with my lowly cable service tool. Yep. rather than my
See, this is a system administrator. This is how you know somebody is a system administrator. I'm the same way. I have five separate backups.
Multiple backups. We plan for things to fail, and we plan for how we're going to react to that. We
exactly.
don't just float through life and expect things to be fine.
Right. My lowest level, the one I trust least, but I've still got it, is a backup on a separate hard drive inside that machine.
Sure.
That's better than nothing, but not good.
Right.
Now I have it backed up on
close.
My network. I have it backed up in three different places on the web.
Right.
So yeah, I'm okay.
But a tool like that will let you pick multiple destinations. You can use the same schedule and have it back up things to separate places. And having separate backups is really what can save you if the first backup, you know, becomes stolen. If somebody breaks in and grabs your laptop and your backup drive, well then where are you?
Exactly.
You're out of luck. But if you've got an off-site backup that is scheduled so you know what's happening, and it's off-site so that
right.
you're protected.
Although I have to say, I'm less worried about that now because I do almost 100% of everything I do in Google Docs.
Right.
So
yeah. And let them worry about the backup.
I actually back up from Google Docs down to my machine and then out to that other stuff. So
okay.
That you know, it's a separate way of doing things, but now I've got multiple copies of it everywhere.
Wow.
Before we are done, I just want to remind everybody that we are holding a contest, a giveaway. It's not a contest as such. I don't know what you call it legally. It's a giveaway. If you go to the Soundbites webpage at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, the very top thing, the top post, right on the front page under the menu is Super Anti-Spyware Giveaway. And we are giving away a free professional copy of Super Anti-Spyware. What you do is you download the free version. You then give it the code,
yep, the license code
that I would send you, and that makes it a professional version, which is free for a year, $30 value. All you have to do is leave a comment in the post, comment on the post, and I will then give away a copy. Now, in order to make a comment, you do have to be a member. So if you're not a member, scroll down the middle of the page. You'll see under Administrivia a register. If you are not registered, if you are registered, there's a law, you know, you can just log in. Leave a comment. If you have never commented before, I will have to approve that comment. And then you will be in the listing next Saturday at this time. I will then pick a winner. I will actually let the software pick the winner for me.
That's very thoughtful and of you.
It's very thoughtful of me. And then we'll be done. And it's a free product. It's a $30 value. I cannot imagine why you would not want to enter this giveaway unless, like Hot Dog, and I did figure out a way to delete your post without
marking them as spam.
Without marking it as spam.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't want a free copy unless, like Hot Dog, you already own a registered pro copy.
Well, yeah.
Maybe I'll convince him to give me another shot at it next year. but yeah, so we're really looking to give away $30 worth of software. All you have to do is leave a comment under the post.
You can do this, people.
You can. It's real easy.
That's
you just
right.
You read the post. It says comment, and you comment, and that's all there is to it. You don't have to say anything fast or, you know, super
clever
or whatever that is. Just leave a post.
Well, thank
All
you
right.
so much for having me again, Nick. I know it's been a few weeks in a row here. I really appreciate the opportunity to come out and talk with people.
It's been great. We want to thank Dennis Worcester, who has
thank
done
you very much.
Yeoman service, stepping in for Steve Ray. He's smart,
so
and he's
fun.
Interesting, and he's funny. And so get out. We don't want anybody like you on here ever again. So thank you very much. I want to thank Dave Enright, who did, he must have done something today. What did he do today? I don't know. Who knows? He did something. I'm Nick Francesco. You are indeed. You've wasted 2 hours of your life doing this. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours. Have fun.